We'll hear about Bob Heil's ham radio roots in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Minneapolis studio of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with a rain report that's both a little old and a little new. One of the pioneers of microphones for both amateur radio and the audio industry is Bob Heil, K9EID. Bob has been the manufacturer of high-quality microphones for amateur radio and the broadcast industry from his Marissa, Illinois facility near St. Louis since 1982. Bob is one of the real cheerleaders of ham radio, second only to Gordon West, WB6NOA. During the live town hall meeting at the 2004 Dayton Hamvention, Bob spoke about the enormous influence ham radio has had on his life since age 15.
Like most of you, I got so infatuated with ham radio in those days. I'm 15 years old. My mama took me down to Walter Ash and bought this TBS 50D and the SX99. And my gracious, it's all of these wonderful things you heard. And then all of a sudden, I hear the most gosh-awful signal. And it took me a long time to figure out what it was. Now, this is 6 meters in 1956. It was single sideband on 6 meters. And I finally figured out that it was K0DGE. Now, he's on sideband, I'm on AM. Well, I was 50 miles from St. Louis. That was a pretty good trick to do ground wave in those days. Well, he was just blown away that I would take the patience and time to do this. I didn't know who this was on the other end. So every night at 7 o'clock, we made a schedule. And he'd be making changes because he was building this 6-meter single sideband transmitter. And here I was on AM. Over the years of time, we got to meet. That person was K0DGE Larry Burrows, the head engineer of CBS St. Louis. And so I became really, really involved. I thought, wow, this would be cool if he'd build this for me. So finally, one day, my mom dropped me off at the station. Well, he says, I'll help you, but I'm not building it for you. And he taught me how to build. I learned how to solder on the back halls of KMOX. You couldn't do that today. The unions wouldn't let you. But then it went from there to wherever. It just went nuts. I put up 128 elements in 1959. Bob Drake called me. He says, can you come here to our Dayton Hamvention and talk about that? I'm a 19-year-old kid. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Here was Bill Halligan in one room, Wes Shum in another, downtown at the Biltmore, 600 people. And I just absolutely centered my life around ham radio, not knowing what an incredible institution it was, because that was my college education. It just went from there. Everything I did was based upon ham radio. Geography, speaking skills, just being able to talk to people. It was amazing what you do in a little town of 2,500 people. To really speed this up, I got involved in the rock and roll sound world, kind of a backwards deal. I was playing the pipe organ all those years when I became a ham. I had already been at the Fox for a year and still playing Wurlitzer pipe organs, but that's where I learned to listen. Listening is a mental process. It's an art. And I was very, very honored to be able to learn that art from tuning and voicing that Wurlitzer pipe organ. That's what gives me a lot of the credibility to be able to do what we do today. How would I do it if it wasn't because of ham radio? Well, let me tell you another little instance that's really wild. I opened this little music shop. I quit playing nightly. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was teaching Hammond organ. You know. All of a sudden, this guy comes in, and he's got this Fender. Well, to me, I was out on my car. I didn't know what this thing was. It was an amplifier. I said, what's this? He went, this is a music shop. I said, well, we teach piano and Hammond organ. Well, I got this thing broken. I said, wait a minute. Being a ham, no was not in my vocabulary. I turn it around. It's got a pair of 6L6s and a 5U4. That was what was in my Harvey Wells, okay? So I said, well, what's wrong? Well, I knew what was wrong. He tried to make it go to 12, and it only went to 10. He blew it up. The 5U4 was all gone. Turned the chassis upside down. Screen resistors were burnt. I put in a pair of 6L6s, changed the screen resistors. I had them in my junk box. Every ham has a junk box. You throw away nothing. And it wasn't a half an hour I had his amplifier going. This guy went crazy. He said, "Oh, wow. How did you know to do that? You didn't even have all them schematic things." No, I didn't need that. I was a ham. Well, then he went on to tell all of his buddies up in St. Louis. First thing you know, it's REO Speedwagon, and it's Michael McDonald. Now, these were kids. They weren't REO Speedwagon yet. They weren't Michael McDonald that you knew yet, but they all went to school around there. I became the guy because I had a soldering iron. To this day, I've never tasted beer or smoked a cigarette, and I've spent most of my life with some of the biggest drug addicts in the world. However, I respected what they did. I didn't have anything to say about their personal life, but when it come to that stage, I owned it because I had soldering iron.
You're listening to an excerpt from a talk given by audio pioneer Bob Heil, K9EID, during the live town hall meeting at the 2004 Dayton Hamvention. We'll conclude this presentation in a moment, after I inform you that the hour-long interview of RAIN's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, conducted by Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, is now available as Program 13 on his podcast, QSO Today, available on qsotoday.com.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
Jerry Garcia called me one day and says, "Hey, we got all these speakers on the stage." I mean, we had seven semis full. I guess it was a lot. How else do you get 50,000 watts of power? And who else but a silly ham would put 50,000 watts of power together on audio? We were the first. I didn't know that. I thought that's what you had to do. And so what did a ham do to get the speakers off the stage? I went and bought some Rhone 25G. Jerry Garcia was thrilled to death. He didn't have speakers on the stage. I invite every one of you the next time you're at a concert to look up and tell me what you see. And every time you do that, it wasn't Bob Heil, it was ham radio that gave me the idea to be able to do these crazy things. And my life would not be even close to what it is. I'd still be playing a Hammond organ for $100 a week in a Holiday Inn, trust me. And having a lot of fun at it, but I wouldn't have quite changed the world the way that we have. We got into this business 22 years ago because I didn't think things sounded right. The same reason I got into the audio world then. I thought, man, this stuff, I didn't like their music. I'm playing Jesse Crawford, stuff of the 30s and 40s, but I respected what those kids did. They were talented. And I know you're going to say, "Well, yeah, they played those louds." Well, but they needed to do something with their sound, and we helped them with that. So many things. The talk box that I invented, and we were the first guys to build a live console and all this. And to wrap it all up real quickly, I got a call from the guys in Cleveland, and they said, "We'd like for you to come up and go through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." I thought, "Ooh, this will be cool." So I went there, and we had a meeting with the curator, and he started reeling off stuff. He knew more about me than I did. Like, "Whoa, how do you know that?" "Well, you did this, yep. You have that console, yeah. You were the first guy to do a modular power amp, yeah. You have some of this stuff?" I said, "Yeah. This fall, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is putting a display of Heil sound in their building." Thank you. I'm not here to get your applause. I certainly appreciate it. But please, before you did that, you should have given that a thought. That wasn't Bob Heil. That was the entire community of ham radio. It was that energy. It was whatever it is that drives me, that still drives me. It's that spirit of ham radio. It's still there for me. What's really sad is that the newcomers to this hobby don't see or feel that spirit sometimes. And that's the sad part. If we had 1,000 Gordon Wests and 1,000 Bill Pasternak's, 1,000 Dave Bells, all these guys that have the same type and more energy of me, wonderful. But we don't. And that's what we have to go out and be the evangelist I'm not just one of a kind. There's a lot of me out here. And I just wish the rest of them would come on forward and tell you what all Ham Radio's done for them, because it's just amazing. And I really hope that you guys take this in the way that I say it to you, because I'm not here to brag about anything. If anything gets bragged upon, it's this hobby, because I wouldn't even have a clue of what's going on if it wasn't what I learned by that crazy Harvey Wells that still is on 3880 and 3885 every night. I still have it going, but anyway, we have a lot of fun, and I hope that you guys can go out and help us create even more excitement, because there's a lot more to do.
Bob Heil, K9EID, a household name in the audio industry, as well as DXing and contesting circles in amateur radio. Bob spoke during the live town hall meeting at the 2004 Dayton Hamvention in suburban Dayton, Ohio. Next time, we'll jump ahead to 2014 to hear his short keynote speech he gave at Pacificon in October. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain, all rights reserved. These Rain Reports are available on demand, both on therainreport.com and via Twitter at #TheRainReport. Now for Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from all of us connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.